You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 8th, 2021. Hear this, hear this. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says it may be that interest rates will have to rise somewhat. Yeah, there's a threat of inflation on the horizon. So they may start boosting interest rates up. We all knew that was going to happen as we dumped all these COVID checks all over the nation and all the other things that the Democrats are rushing forward, all this additional spending. It's only a matter of time. And do not tell me you can't get a job. Right now, the U.S. employers are posting a record number of available jobs, far surpassing expectations. Job openings, we have something like 9.3 million jobs available in this nation. I have a real hard time understanding someone standing on a corner wanting you to give them some change when there are 9.3 million jobs. Now, granted, they may not be able to get a job in some of the higher paid positions, but folks in the lower paid positions often try to move up, and as they move up, that opens up the other. And the federal government just hired an additional 10,000. Oh, yeah, there are jobs there. And in construction and durable goods, well, they fell off a little bit because of shortages and rising costs. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Part of the vaccine, or rather the COVID issue, the repercussions. But we have a lot of people just deciding don't need the job right now because I got all this money coming in for the government. At the same time, you've got small businesses that say we can't get enough people to come in to work for us. So inflation, no employees, the confidence of small business owners down. That's a third straight monthly increase that the optimism is falling off. Labor in short supply, that's holding back growth. Small businesses just not sure, can we move forward? And this note coming out, the Biden administration hoped to vaccinate 70% of U.S. adults all across the nation by July 4. The latest statement and data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Washington is the latest state to reach that threshold of 70%. It joins a dozen other states. That means 13 states. Overall, about 51.6% of the total U.S. population have received at least one dose of COVID-19. 140 million, about 42%, fully vaccinated. And of those 12 and older, among the eligible population, nearly half are fully vaccinated. We have many going and getting the first shot saying, I don't think I'll go get the second one. That's a decision you need to make for you and your family. VP Harris proclaiming falsely, we've been to the border. When she's pressed repeatedly, when you're going to visit the border, we've been to the border. I know. At some point, we're going to the border. We've been to the border, the whole thing. We've been to the border. We've been to the border. She doesn't want to go again because it would create, again, visuals and images and show the media, even her favorite media people, state-controlled, would have to go cover it, and they just don't want to do it. So while she's in Guatemala the other day, yesterday, she says, I'm going to do what we can to help down here. I'm down here looking at the grand scheme of things, not grandstanding. Now she's in Mexico City doing the same thing. Right. The squad is lashing out at her because she dared tell the illegals that are thinking of coming to this country, do not come. Of course, she also added, I believe you'll be sent back. In other words, she doesn't really know. There's a new survey out involving a Gallup poll regarding Republicans. Republicans consistently the party group least in favor of same-sex marriage. For the first time, 55% of Republicans surveyed are accepting same-sex marriage. In the meantime, the Labor Department and Treasury Department and all of them are wrestling with another issue, civil rights issues. Secretary of Education stating, I back the fact that biological men should be able to compete against women, against biological women in sports. He said, we need to make sure the transgender women slash men, women, whatever, get to compete just like everyone else does. Otherwise, it's discrimination. Oh, here's this coming in. The cost of Obama's library in Chicago going to be costing about $200 million more than the original estimate, $800 million, but it's all paid with private funding.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come. The United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. And I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back.
Those are the words of VP Harris yesterday in Guatemala. Today she's in Mexico City, where she sent out a tweet saying, I'm here to renew our nation's important partnership with Mexico. No mention of immigration and our border at that point. But there she was in Guatemala yesterday, visiting and meeting with the president of Guatemala, one of the Northern Triangle nations, the other two being Honduras and El Salvador, and saying, we're going to send $4 billion, $4 billion down here so your people will have a reason to stay here, so they shouldn't need to take that dangerous journey. Now she's acknowledging it's dangerous. We've said repeatedly it's dangerous, have we not? And she's saying you should not try to do it. It's a very dangerous journey. You should just stay here. And we're going to help rebuild your community. We're going to help deal with your climate change down here and everything else. She did not go to Honduras or El Salvador, supposedly, because those two countries are either, one, not going to be that welcome to anything she has to say or do anyway. They will take the money, thank you, but otherwise not so welcome. And that those two countries apparently have more fraud and bribe and illegal activities like that going on there than they do in Guatemala, which is not saying a lot for any part of the world down there. But they're basically we, you, and I are sending down something like $4 billion under the Biden-Harris administration plan to solve all their issues. When Trump was in office, he cut off a lot of that money and then shut it down entirely because they were not doing their job. They were not really getting it to the people, so they would stay and not join the caravans coming to our border. So he said, I'll shut it down, and he did. He told Mexico, if you don't get tough at your southern border, keep them crossing your border coming up our way, we'll give you something to deal with. Well, they got a little tougher. So here goes VP Harris down to Guatemala and makes her statement. And in her statement, you heard her say, the U.S. will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. Now, that should be a direct and clear, definitive statement. We are enforcing our border. Isn't that what it says? I'll read it again. The U.S. will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. Then she goes on to say, we discourage illegal migration. And I believe, key phrase there, two words, I believe if you come to our border, you'll be turned back. In other words, maybe you won't. So come on up, take your chances. That wording, as vague as it was still enough to set off AOC and the rest of that squad. They are extremely upset that those kinds of statements would be coming out of this administration. And in fact, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and keep in mind, during the debate stage, when all the Democrats were on the floor, they were asked, do you consider crossing our border a crime? Raise your hand. No one raised their hand. Do you consider that it's okay and no one should be prosecuted? Everybody raised their hand, maybe some a little slower. Yes, that included Joe. And now you have VP Harris saying, I believe you'll be turned back. Don't come. AOC, in a statement issued right after that, says, this is disappointing to see. First, seeking asylum at any U.S. border is a 100% legal method of arrival. Second, the U.S. spent decades contributing to regime change and destabilization in Latin America. So there you have it. If you're coming for asylum, yes, that's a legal method, but we know they're not all coming for asylum. And two, she's blaming the U.S. for what's happening in Latin America, the drugs, the gangs, and everything else. Then she goes on to say, we can't help set someone's house on fire and then blame them for fleeing. And that tweet quickly got shared by another member of the squad, Congresswoman Tlaib, Democrat of Michigan. So they're already condemning Harris for making those statements. They could see maybe Joe making, but not Harris. Well, that's what she did. She did an interview with Lester Holt of NBC, and he made a point to, in this interview, I'm going to have to give him credit, he brought up something that she's been trying to step around.
In the news conference here in Guatemala City, you had a message for would-be migrants. Don't come. Why should they believe you when they know that people are getting in?
I've been working on this issue for a very long time. And the kind of violence and danger that is associated with that trek, especially when we're talking about from Guatemala through Mexico to the United States, it's extremely dangerous.
Absolutely admitting what we've been stating repeatedly. And yet she, and not only as a candidate with Biden running for the White House, by herself as she was representing herself in running for the White House before she had to join forces with Biden, and even prior to that, as a California attorney general, she was all about sanctuary cities and states. The border's open. Come on up. In other words, she knew that they were going through those exhaustive, desperate, horrifying, sometimes criminal treks to get here, and their children being raped, sexually abused before they would ever get here. And now they're acknowledging, oh, it's too rough. You shouldn't do that. Talk about changing the message. And then, of course, there's that other issue. Because when she went to Guatemala yesterday, she flew right over our southern border. She went 1,500 miles south of it. And now she's still south of our border. She's in Mexico City. And when she comes back to D.C., she's going to fly over our border again. And she's saying at this point that, you know, we're doing our job. We are securing the border. And yet Lester Holt said, well, that's not what Americans see.
Children being lowered over fences, yeah. Children coming in with, you know, phone numbers stenciled on their hand.
Yeah.
And so the question has come up, and you heard it here, and you'll hear it again, I'm sure. It's why not visit the border? Why not see what Americans are seeing in this crisis?
Well, we are going to the border. We have to deal with what's happening at the border. There's no question about that. That's not a debatable point. But we have to understand that there's a reason people are arriving at our border and ask what is that reason and then identify the problem so we can fix it.
Do you know what the problem is? It's abject poverty in those countries. And you can pour all the money into it you want. It's like it's like that proverbial bucket. You just keep pouring water in and there's a hole in it, and you don't ever get a bucket full. It's never going to fill up. And going to the border, oh, no, 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 no. I've been to the border. In fact, she at another point in the interview said, I at some point, you know, we're going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border. And then she was pressed again that she herself hadn't been there, and so she kind of did what that Harris left. I haven't been to Europe. I mean, I don't understand the point you're making. Of course she understands the point. And Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, says, yeah, we know why she will not go to the border.
There's a reason Kamala Harris doesn't want to go to the border. There's a reason Joe Biden doesn't want to go to the border. Because they know that if they go, the reporters will follow them. The TV cameras will follow them. Their strategy is simple. It's try to cover this up. You know, you're airing this on Fox, and I'm grateful that you are. But you know where they're not airing this? On CNN, on ABC, CBS, NBC. None of the corrupt corporate media is even acknowledging this exists. And that's why Kamala and Joe are not going to the border, because they know if they go, it'll drive the coverage. And they don't have a solution to this crisis. So they're prepared for it to just get worse and worse and worse.
And in fact, they will not even acknowledge it's a crisis. They don't like that C word. Crisis rhymes too much with constitution, which they don't like that word either. But the White House, just this morning again, trying to clarify Harris's comments when she made that statement, telling everyone, don't come. Our message is, do not come, do not come. The U.S. will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. There are, which right there says, we're going to enforce our federal immigration laws, so all these sanctuary cities and states, which she was a part of in California, you should not offer sanctuary. She goes on to say there are legal methods by which migration can and should occur, but we, as one of our priorities, will discourage illegal migration, and I believe, there's that phrase again, I believe if you come to our border, you'll be turned back. Well, it was enough to upset AOC, as I said. And the White House is trying to walk that line again. So they issued a statement today, supposedly trying to clarify her comments, saying we encourage those who would like to come to the U.S. to do so legally. Well, there's no way you come across our border illegally if you're not approved for asylum. That is why Trump had in place Remain in Mexico policy. You stay there, we'll adjudicate your case, and when it's cleared and you are granted true asylum, then we let you in. Well, the first things Biden did was strike that out. But you got the senior advisor and chief spokesman to the vice president issuing this statement today. Listen carefully. They are banking everything on you hearing the latest statement and saying, well, I understand what she meant now. The president and vice president have been clear in dissuading people from making the dangerous and treacherous journey to the U.S.-Mexico border. Stop it right there. When and where? What, just yesterday? And that wasn't so clear, except to say it's a dangerous journey. It wasn't so clear when she said, I believe if you come, you'll be turned back. That's not that clear. But the statement goes on to say, we encourage those who do want to come to the U.S. to do so legally and seek legal immigration options in their home countries. And the vice president is committed to addressing the root causes of migration, which also addresses why migrants are coming to our border. And the White House added, we've been very clear on this policy. All the time we've been making it clear that Biden was clear in March. He said something to the same effect. And Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas urging migrants to pursue legal immigration channels. Well, riddle me this. If you're going to be that clear and you want to say we are not going to accept anyone coming across illegally if you don't come through the legal chains, then why don't you shut down in these blue states, blue cities, blue counties, sanctuaries for illegals? I think we uncovered something else that they didn't want to deal with. We'll take a break when we come back. An update on COVID, the vaccine update efforts, and how it's affecting America at this point, especially when it comes to the dollar. Stand by, please. Before we get to the vaccine and COVID issue, I want to clarify something I said in news and commentary. I had mentioned as our closing story in that segment that the cost of the Obama Library in Chicago is going to be about $200 million more than originally projected. Original estimate, $500 million. Now it's going to be just around $700 million, and it could go up more. And I said no federal dollars, taxpayer dollars, are used to build it. And that is correct. That is true. Money is being raised through different funding efforts and so forth. However, when it is completed, then the operation of the library is transferred to the federal government, maintained by the national association that does deal with those moving forward. And that is paid for by the National Archives. So then they will begin dealing with the cost moving forward, staff and everything else. So, and that's true of every presidential library. We have 14 of them, so it's not just Obama. I want to clarify that for you. And they say in Chicago they think that one's going to generate $3 billion in revenue that might benefit, or they say should benefit, local businesses. Well, I hope it does. Back to the vaccine issue. First of all, this thing about vaccinating everybody by July and hopefully getting at least a majority of the public vaccinated. That was what Biden wanted to do by July 4. He wanted 70% of adults in the nation to have at least one dose or more. So far, only 13 states have qualified for that. That'd be about 171 million people, about 52% of the total population. And now, of course, now we have the issue about vaccinating kids. He was talking about vaccinating adults, at least 70% of the adults. So only 13 states have done so. Washington, California, Connecticut, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Maryland, Maine, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Vermont. A lot of blue states there. And some of the red states are still trying to decide if they're going to do it or not, and they're kind of leaving it to the folks to make their decision. And there's a concern, a new survey out by the Trafalgar Group, that shows a majority of American voters want the parents, not the federal government, to decide if their children need vaccines to attend public school. 64% said the parents should make the decision. So we'll see how that shakes out. And then, of course, talking about travel and passports, some states are already passing laws. We will not have a vaccine passport. Others are saying, yeah, you might have to. We told you in the beginning, Hawaii was thinking about doing that. If you're going to come to Hawaii, you might need a vaccine passport, show you've been, you had a vaccine. And in addition to all this, of course, we have cost going up. Things have been shut down. We can't get things out. Now, when they're starting, they don't have enough people, and the cost of materials up. I got sent a piece the other day by a group, a lumber and hardware group, talking about skyrocketing lumber prices, saying here's what 1,000 can buy today compared to last fall. Today, 32x4 studs. Fall, you could, for the same amount of money, buy 100. That's how much the cost of lumber is going up, which means the cost of new housing or repairing or reconstruction or renovation all going up. That's assuming you can find anybody to work and do the job. Take a break. When we come back, the New York Times editorial member who got triggered when she saw U.S. flags, just disturbing.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this.
This is my country. Well, I say this is my country. I don't own it and you don't own it. This is my country, your country. Those are the words of a New York Times editorial board member on a trip to Long Island this last weekend as she was relating her story and her fear and what triggered her over the weekend as she was on MSNBC with a panel. And saying, I went there and I saw these pickups with all these Trump flags. I want to play that again in a moment. I'm going to ask Quentin to cue it up one more time because I can understand when she starts talking about the Trump flags, what she wants to try to get the point across that you're here, we still have Trump flags flying around. Yeah, there's still shirts out there say, now Trump 2024, things of that nature. They're not going to like that either. It's freedom of speech. It's okay if you want to promote Hillary 2024. I have no problem with that. You should, but I don't. But here she is saying it was just you're disturbing to go and find all these pickup trucks. And she makes a point of pointing saying pickup trucks because that's supposed to give you the image of some redneck Hoosier. And they in Long Island? That'd be surprising, but maybe they are. I don't know. After all, I've always admitted I'm West Texas oil field trash and proud of it. My daddy worked in the oil field long, long hours to provide for four of us. I mean, you know, I'm very proud of that, of what he did. I'm proud of this country. I'm proud of what we've done, where we've come, and what we've accomplished for everyone in the country. I'm not proud of some things we've done that have not been truly good for other people and all people. But again, let's listen to her describe, as she was talking to the panel, about the thing that triggered her. And what really triggered her was not so much the Trump flags, but the U.S. flag and the way she interpreted as to what it means. One more time, please.
I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, you know, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, yep. Trump yep. flags, and in some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your yep. country. I own this.
The message was clear. This is my country, not your country. I own this. There's no clear statement like that to pride in America. But the problem we've gotten to in this nation, and we saw it prior to Trump ever coming on the scene, it happened during the Bush years as well. If you are in favor of this country, you're nationalistic. You can't be that way. You got to be for all countries. No, you don't. If Hillary had been elected, I'd want her to be president of this country, not president to help all the other countries. I mean, we would do that as a nation, but she's president of this country. Same thing with Obama, president of the U.S. But those on the left, they want to go around apologizing and at the same time saying, well, we're going to be all in this together. Well, we are to an extent that we all live on this planet. But you elect someone president to be representing this nation. But, of course, the anger and the hate, the vile poison that comes sometimes from the left in the sense that if you will not agree with us, then you're wrong. I don't have that attitude toward them. They can have whatever statement they want. And, yeah, I could say they're wrong, but I'm going to allow it. And that's it. And, yes, I call it out from time to time. I expect them to call us out. I have no problem with that. It's all part of democracy. But if you listen to this woman, editorial board member for the New York Times, Republicans, conservatives, we don't really want to share democracy. Listen to this.
The reality is here that we have a large percentage of the American population. I don't know how big it is, but we have tens of millions of Trump voters who continue to believe that their rights as citizens are under threat by simple virtue of having to share the democracy with others. I think as long as they see Americanness as the same as one with whiteness, this is going to continue. We have to figure out how to get every American a place at the table in this democracy, but how to separate Americanness, America, from whiteness.
That is her perspective. Do you agree? Do you agree that conservatives were all about whiteness, not really America and democracy? I would challenge that. There may well be. In fact, I'm sure there are conservatives like that, just as there are liberals on the other side that believe that whites have no part of this democracy. Read our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Obama did an interview the other day with CNN and NNN, Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper. And he was talking about, we have a problem in this nation right now, that he's kind of talking on the same vein of what she was trying to suggest, that we have things that we're embracing now in this nation we never would have in the past. Listen to this.
I think we have to worry when one of our major political parties is willing to embrace a way of thinking about our democracy that would be unrecognizable and unacceptable even 5 years ago or a decade ago. When you look at some of the laws that are being passed at the state legislative level, and when that's all done against the backdrop of large numbers of Republicans having been convinced wrongly that there was something fishy about the last election, we've got a problem.
There was something fishy about the last election. Does not mean it was stolen. Does not mean it was a fraud, a big enough fraud that it got Biden elected over Trump. But he's also referring to the legislatures. Yeah, they're trying to tighten up the election laws. That is, and in fact, what they've done in Georgia, which they keep wanting to point to and say, here they are trying to disenfranchise minority voters because they wanted an ID. Well, they were already doing that in Georgia. All they did was apply the, you have to have an ID if you want an absentee ballot sent to you. And the Georgia election laws are not as restrictive and offer more voting days and times than they do in Delaware, the home of Joe Biden, and more so than in New York. Obama also said, you can be proud of this country and its traditions and its history and our forefathers. It's also true this terrible stuff happened, and the vestiges of that linger and continue. He's right about that. We do have some things in our past that they're horrible. They happen. They're there. But to say that they linger and continue, then again, you have to buy into that we have systemic racism in this country. Senator Tim Scott, I ran a clip of him in the preceding hour when he earlier this, after Biden had delivered his State of the Union address and retort giving the Republican position, one of the points he made, the United States is not a racist country. And I raised questions the other day reading a report submitted by a scholar saying, if I look at all these folks who are trying to escape mostly black countries to come to the U.S., why would they come? They think it's going to be racist here because they don't believe it is. And it gives them more opportunity. I hope we always do that. But he also wants to blame conservative media, Obama that is, the certain right-wing venues for stoking fear and resentment among whites toward the increasingly diverse population. And yet we just again read you the other day reports of how more Latino voters are supported Trump this last time around, and the Republicans are building bigger and bigger upon Latino voters. Not just in Florida, the Cuban voters, but overall, those who support family values and legal immigration and law and order. And yet, the leftists continue to project the story that Republicans, white Republicans, and those who are black or brown must really be white, just posing as one of the other colors, want to see this nation divided. And even this editorial board director, Mara Gay, and appearing on MSNBC, he talked about it's not just all of that, it's also some of the press. And we'll get into that on the other side, where you will hear her talk about how she's blaming not only the populace, but the press, and some of her colleagues. That's her view. I'll let you hear it. And also, we'll show you an example of how the state-controlled media has always shut down opposition.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
She'll be the death of me. At least we're both enough. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're what deep in love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What really is concerning to me as well is it's not just Democrats in Congress. I think there's a large percentage of Americans, even some of my colleagues in journalism, who are invested in some way in pretending that this isn't the threat that it is. That is the real concern. Because, you know, the Trump voters who are not going to get on board with democracy, they're a minority. You can marginalize them long term. But if we don't take the threat seriously, then I think we're all in really bad shape.
And that, again, the words of Mara Gay, editorial board director member of the New York Times, saying that even some of her friends inside the media don't get the idea that we got to push continually to make an issue and pound the drum that conservatives, white conservatives, claim America is all for them, no one else, which is not true. And we have numerous minority groups constantly joining conservative or independent views, moving away from the left because they're going so far that they don't want to be part of a Marxist country. But we can even go back in prior time. I mean, I want to give you an example. This is something you remember when Trump was in office. When Trump was in office, there was a book that came out, and it was written by Michael Wolff, titled Fire and Fury in the White House. It's one of those things that supposedly was showing you how bad things were inside the White House. And, of course, it always got a lot of play on the, at that time, mainstream media, what is now state-controlled media. So Jake Tapper deciding, oh, let's get into this book. And he invited a White House Trump advisor, Stephen Miller, on there to answer some questions raised in the book. Miller did not go quietly into that night and that trap that Tapper was setting up, but it got to a point where Tapper just said, okay, we're done here. Watch, just hear this play out.
Allegations and insinuations in this book, which are a pure work of fiction, are nothing but a pile of trash through and through. Well, just to finish, Jake, because, you know, your network's been going 24-7 with all this salacious coverage, and I know that it brings a lot of you guys a lot of joy to trying to stick the knife in. But the reality is that page after page after page of the book is pure false. I see sections of the book where events I participated in are described, and I have firsthand knowledge that as they're described, they're completely and totally fraudulent. The people that you don't connect with and understand, the people whose manufacturing jobs have left, who've been besieged by high crime communities, and who've been affected by a policy of uncontrolled immigration, those voices, those experiences don't get covered on this network. That's so, why, to prove the point, I was booked to talk about the very issues I'm just describing, and you're not even asking about them because they're not interesting facts to you.
That's not true. I have plenty of questions on immigration. You've attempted to filibuster by talking about your flights.
No,
to the president.
I
want to ask you a question because
don't be condescending. Jake,
the reason why I want to talk about
the president's experiences, what I've seen with him traveling to meet dozens of foreign leaders, with his incredible work.
Okay, you're not answering the questions.
No,
I understand.
You have 24 hours a day of anti-Trump material,
and
you're not going to give 3 minutes for the American people
to hear
the real experience of Donald Trump.
There's one viewer that you care about right now, and you're being obsequious.
No,
you're being a factotum in order to please him, okay?
No.
And I think I've wasted enough of my viewers' time.
You know who
Thank
I care
you,
about?
As Republicans,
hey,
lawmakers
Jake,
call
you know
for Attorney General Jeff Sessions to resign, in a major reversal, Democrats are now coming to his defense. What changed? We'll ask the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee next.
There you go, Jake. Just shut him off. The engineer got the word to cut his microphone. Stephen Miller, White House Trump advisor at the time, invited on to talk about the immigration issues, things of that nature, as you heard him detail, but they wanted to talk about, or Tapper anyway, I want to get into this Michael Wolff book, Fire and Fury in the White House, and all the things that have been going on in there, according to this book. And Miller refuted them, saying, you're not even, it's all fraudulent. I'm telling you, I was at those meetings. They didn't happen the way he describes them. That's not satisfying to Jake Tapper and the CNN group, because they want him to say, well, yeah, the Trump is really bad and everything else. So he said, you're just trying to appeal to one person. That would be President Trump. And you're wasting the time of my listeners and viewers. Well, a lot of those listeners and viewers aren't with Jake Tapper anymore anyway. They don't have Trump to beat up anymore, so they got to kind of work around it. So what do they do? Well, it's a perfect example that we ran a clip of it yesterday, but let me just rehash the difference between the interview you just heard and how CNN and NNN, Brian Stelter, handled the White House press secretary, Jennifer Saski, Sunday on Reliable Sources. He asked some really tough questions, such as, do you have any advice for journalists about trying to stay as close to the truth in this world of lies? What does the press get wrong when covering Biden's agenda? Friday, a reporter shouted a question. It was answered, but should they sit down and ask properly? He said, you know, you used to be on this side of the camera. You were a CNN commentator in between your time working with the Obama administration, now working for Biden. What did you learn here? Oh, those were tough, tough questions. It did unveil the fact that Saski was a CNN operative to begin with, and she serves perfectly with the Biden-Harris team in that same position even now. You think she's getting a check from CNN still? Thanks for listening, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.